Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the New Heights Show on Education. This is Pamela Clark, the founder and director of New Heights. Our regular host, Kaden Behan, is out sick tonight, so our prayers are with her, and we hope she's feeling better soon. Just a brief announcement that we're having our biweekly enrichment day classes that are currently going on every Friday from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Zion Lutheran Church in Defiance, Ohio. You're welcome to join us. Call us if you'd like to attend. This next Friday, we're doing a Thanksgiving gathering. We're having a potluck and so forth. So if you want to participate in that, please contact us. We'd love to see you. I'm going to get right into the Common Core standards with some updates and just some information that I have. I think this is our sixth show now on the Common Core Standards. I've really been wanting to do another one for a while now and just haven't been able to do that until now. So anyways, I have put on our website the petition for stopping Common Core in Ohio. It's under the New Heights Radio program show. Link on our site, you'll see New Heights Radio, okay? And then you'll click on that, and you'll go to the bottom, and you'll see the link. You can click on the petition to sign it, and that is just for Ohio. One of the things I want to discuss first with the audience today is something that was actually on Facebook recently, of course, right, Facebook. And that was the New Jersey governor screams at teacher, do your job. I don't know if you guys have seen this one. This was dated today, and it's written by Chris Nielsen. And it says, the New Jersey teacher in the photo below, which, of course, if you look up New Jersey governor screams at teacher, do your job, I'm sure you'll find this picture pretty quickly, had just asked Chris Christie the following question. Now, think about this question. Why do you continue to spread the myth that our schools and teachers are failing? His reply, you people just do your job. This is the New Jersey governor, okay? So think about that. What does he mean by you people? It's been a full day of bullying educators. Want more? Oklahoma's teachers are being threatened with school funding loss if they don't shut up about the state's invalid and ridiculous school grading system. A New York educator is being threatened with disciplinary action after speaking out against the APPR and Common Core. A teacher in Alabama is also laying low after expressing her opinion and being told to quiet down and stop talking about education issues. Our freedom to speak to those in power is quickly being taken from us. If teachers, those who spend every day in the classroom with kids they love, can't speak the truth to power about the horrendous failures we're seeing, then who will speak for the kids? Contempt in full bloom. These people are trying their best to demonize, silence, and get rid of good teachers. And it goes on to talk about some more, and there's a video at the bottom. I didn't watch it, so I'm not going to share the audio from it. Also, I wanted to talk about his remark and the myth of, you know, spreading what he thinks is lies about a failing educational system. Now, I don't know about you, but anybody with half a brain knows that our educational system is failing. And it's been failing for a very, very long time. I have some statistics here I'd like to share with you. 1 in 3 fourth graders cannot read at grade level. I think it's even more than that. I think a lot of records are falsified in school systems, but and that's been proven in the Columbus area and some of the bigger cities. I don't think that's a myth. Nearly two-thirds of low-income families own no books for their children. 40 million adults have difficulty reading a simple story with their child. We've had some of those students, actually, a number of them. According to a task force report to the State Board of Education, it is estimated that 40,000 Ohio students drop out of high school, representing approximately one-third of all who begin high school. A study from the University of Cincinnati Economic Center for Education and Research found that there are nearly 750,000 high school dropouts statewide. Only 47 of every 100 Ohio dropouts are employed, compared to 70 of every 100 high school graduate, and that's from the University of Cincinnati. For each would-be dropout that finishes high school, the government saves an estimated $2,240 each year in public assistance costs. That's also from the University of Cincinnati. Dropouts are two times more likely to be incarcerated than high school graduates, also from the University of Cincinnati. Each year, the 40,000 young Ohioans that drop out of high school, dramatically reducing their chances of well-paying jobs, increasing their chances of poverty and dependency and incarceration. And on average, each student failing to graduate from high school will end up costing Ohio taxpayers $3,909 per year from age 16 through 64, or $191,466 over a lifetime. The cost to taxpayers at each year's new class of 40,000 dropouts in Ohio is approximately $156,350,000 annually. The New Jersey governor thinks it's a myth. Okay. I think there's more to play in his argument than him thinking there's a myth, because I think not even him, I don't even think he could possibly think that this is really succeeding. There has to be another agenda, wouldn't you think, to make such a bogus claim and attack someone verbally like that. I think that's sort of interesting. So some of the other things that are going on, the House votes to strip the PARCC from budget, and that was dated April 19, 2013. It says, "The calls work tonight on the House floor. We witness," this is from April, "so we witness the power of the individual dedicated to the cause of liberty bear fruit. Our just days old action item has been executed and won. The House voted affirmatively on an amendment to the budget removing the PARCC assessment references. As with any potential shift in policy, there will be a multitude of solutions and offers coming from interested parties and organizations. We cannot allow another displacement of legislative authority to occur. Let's remember what was accomplished with the House vote. The PARCC assessment was not adopted via a backdoor Fox legislative buried in a budget bill. And two, we have sent the Common Core standards back where they belong, to the legislature, where they can be completely vetted. It is the only means by which Ohioans have a voice and can hold their elected representatives accountable. And so from that, I receive emails on the Common Core issues too, and this one is dated September 5th, and it said, "Wisconsin, Ohio, North Carolina have local control, but Utah does not." And I had read that earlier on another site that I'd shared with in one of the other broadcasts where you could go on and kind of keep track of what was going on. But it says in this one, dated September 5th, according to an article at eagnews.org, some states have true local control and some do not. Wisconsin, Ohio, and North Carolina have local control, but Utah does not. The article explains school districts in local control states like Wisconsin can dump Common Core standards without penalties. If you live, just a second, I have to go to a different screen. Okay, it might have been cut off. I opened it. Let's see here. So far, the only three states that have responded to contact the education officials in numerous states if their districts also have the right to opt out of Common Core. Ohio have acknowledged that districts are free to dump Common Core, but cautioned that students in those districts may struggle with mandatory state tests, which will be aligned with Common Core. I know the ACT is already aligned, and then, I thought that I'd said in a previous show that the SATs will be aligned by this next year. I believe that's correct, but they're not already. Officials in Utah say local districts do not have the power to drop Common Core. So that's part of that email. And you can go on whatiscommoncore.wordpress.com to kind of to check out your own state and what it's doing. I mean, I'm trying to just stick with Ohio since that's where I live tonight, you know, to go over what's going on in Ohio. Now, talking about graduation requirements, I thought I would go over some of the requirements. Now, this does not... this isn't important to homeschoolers. It depends how you look at it. If homeschoolers aren't interested in taking the testing, then they don't have to worry about this because they're not required to do so. And I really believe that if you start to do that testing that you know sometimes some families chose to do, it's going to be the downfall of the homeschool world, in a sense, in a couple years, because right now the homeschoolers test higher than the public school kids on the tests when they go, the standardized tests when they go to take them. But with the Common Core standards, how they're set up, if you haven't, you know, learned them, you're not going to be able to pass these tests. So there's going to be a complete shift in the results. So the homeschoolers will end up at the bottom of the test scores or their scoring, and then the public school kids will be testing higher. And then they'll attack homeschooling, and they'll try to outlaw it. And I really believe that's coming. But anyway, so what it takes, this is from education.ohio.gov, by the way, so I'm not just making this up, but what it takes to earn a diploma, Ohio diploma, excuse me, graduating class through 2013. These are testing requirements and curriculum requirements connected with the Ohio diploma. Students must meet both requirements in order to earn an Ohio diploma. So this would be for charter school and public school children, okay? See the two checklists below, okay, blah, blah, blah. The third section provides information about the alternative pathway for eligibility for a diploma, excuse me. Okay, so curriculum requirements for 2013 and beyond. English language arts, you need a state minimum of 4 units. Health is a half unit. Mathematics is 3 units. Physical education is a half a unit. Science is 3 units. Social studies is 3 units. And electives needed are 6 units. And then it goes on to explain, you know, what exactly under science, social studies, and electives that you'll need. And then it says graduation test requirements for students who need to pass the OGT. It's important it says notify the student and parents about it, the importance of earning a diploma. They need to meet both testing and curriculum requirements to earn their diploma. Any additional local graduation requirements, district's policy about participation and commencement ceremony, and how to access information, so test blueprints and previous tests on the web about OGT, and that they give a website, www.ode.state.oh.us, and then you enter your OGT keyword. The OGT test administrations before graduation, spring of 10th grade, summer between 10th and 11th grade, which they say is optional, fall and spring of 11th grade, and then summer between 11th and 12th grade are optional. Fall and spring of 12th grade, and then graduation. And then it has where you can look up how to access previous graduation tests, which is also at the link that I mentioned above, and you can search words, release test materials. Now, the alternative pathway for eligibility for a diploma located below are criteria for alternative pathway to graduation GPA calculation chart. On the one, OGT, in parentheses it says, for which the person failed to attain the designated score, the person missed that score by 10 points or less. Note, this means a scaled score of at least 390 on the failed OGT. Or number two, he has a 97% school attendance rate in each of the last four school years, excluding any excused absences. Note, excused absences are defined by local school district policy. Number three, has not been expelled from school in any of the last four school years. Note, the statute does not address other student disciplinary outcomes such as suspension. Number four, has a grade point average of at least 2.5 and out of 4.0 or its equivalent as designated in the rules adopted by the State Board of Education in the subject area of the failed OGT. Says note, the conversion chart found below must be used. And anyways, this is, okay, they have like a GPA calculation chart, and you might want to look that over. Just like I said, you can read this whole thing by going to education.ohio.gov. And it's important to know this, especially if you live in Ohio, because this is going to affect your child if they're graduating next year. And then there's also a link for graduating classes 2014 and beyond. And let me take a really quick look at that one again. Not seeing anything that's really standing out as a big difference between those two. So, again, you can explore them for yourself. Anyone that wants to call in and speak to me, please do so. Our number is 347-633-9225. Be happy to talk to anybody and love to hear from the audience. Okay, so also I wanted to discuss, there's a map of states pulling back from Common Core standards, and you can see that at educationviews.org. And let me see here. It's dated. This is from February 2013. So it is sort of interesting, though. Let me just take a quick look. I don't want to say anything that's not true. Yeah, I don't see anything about Ohio pulling back, but of course I read that to you about April. I'm really not sure how active they're being in Ohio. I know the site that I shared with you earlier did show that some people are advocating in Ohio, you know, to get rid of the Common Core standards, but I don't know, you know, how successful they're going to be because of the way this is being implemented. I really believe that even though I'm trying to focus on Ohio, that it's going to be, you know, all states kind of banding together to stop this because of the agendas that are behind it and the massive amounts of money that are being poured into the Common Core standards. So I'll say that much. Now, one of the things I wanted to share tonight, and this is sort of off of the subject, but I think it all kind of wraps right back into Common Core standards. And I'm a fan of John Taylor Gatto, and I know some of you probably know who John Taylor Gatto is, and some of you do not. But he was Teacher of the Year in New York City in January of 1990. And he has written many books, that are in our library, to, people telling them about his time being a public school teacher and why he quit being a public school teacher and what he thinks about our nation's educational system and the dumbing down of it and how severe it really is. And I came across the speech that he actually gave during his acceptance of the Teacher of the Year Award, and it was titled Why Schools Don't Educate. And I wanted to share it here with you. I only have about 9 minutes, so hopefully I'll be able to get through this. And there were some videos I wanted to share too. So actually, I'm kind of going back and forth here, but you should go on YouTube and type in Stop the Common Core, and you'll come across some videos to listen to. And in fact, the videos were put on by No to Common Core, and I can't remember the woman's name that is the main speaker in it. I've listened to her many times. I just can't think of her name. But, boy. Anyways, can't remember her name. Sorry about that. But you'll really want to check that out. There's some really great videos there, and she's very well educated on this. But anyways, back to the Teacher of the Year acceptance speech by John Taylor Gatto of Why Schools Don't Educate. He said, I accept this award on behalf of all the fine teachers I've known over the years who struggled to make their transactions with children honorable ones. Men and women who are never complacent, always questioning, always wrestling to define and redefine endlessly what the word education should mean. A teacher of the year is not the best teacher around. Those people are too quiet to be easily uncovered, but it is a standard bearer symbolic of these private people who spend their lives gladly in the service of children. This is their award as well as mine. We live in a time of great school crisis. Our children rank at the bottom of the 19th industrial nations in reading, writing, and arithmetic, at the very bottom. The world's narcotic economy is based upon our own consumption of the commodity. If we didn't buy so many powdered dreams, the business would collapse. And schools are an important sales outlet. Our teenage suicide rate is the highest in the world, and suicidal kids are rich kids for the most part, not the poor. In Manhattan, 50% of all new marriages last less than 5 years. So something is wrong for sure. Our school crisis is a reflection of this greater social crisis. We seem to have lost our identity. Children and old people are penned up and looked away from the business of the world to a degree without precedent. Nobody talks to them anymore, and without children and old people mixing in daily life, a community has no future and no past. Only a continuous present. In fact, the name community hardly applies to the way we interact with each other. We live in networks, not communities, and everyone I know is lonely because of that. In some strange way, school is a major actor in this tragedy, just as it is a major actor in the widening guilt among social classes. Using school as a sorting mechanism, we appear to be on the way to creating a caste system, complete with untouchables, under through subway trains, begging, and sleep on the streets. I've noticed a fascinating phenomenon in the past 25 years of teaching, that schools and schooling are increasingly irrelevant to the great enterprises of the planet. No one believes anymore that scientists are trained in science classes or politicians in civics classes or poets in English classes. The truth is that schools don't really teach anything except how to obey orders. This is a great mystery to me because thousands of humane caring people work in schools as teachers and aides and administrators, but the abstract logic of the institution overwhelms their individual contributions. Although teachers do care and do work very hard, the institution is psychopathic. It has no conscience. It rings a bell, and the young man in the middle of writing a poem must close his notebook and move to different cell, to a different cell where he must memorize that man and monkeys derive from a common ancestor. Interesting, he said that, huh? Our form of compulsory schooling is an invention of the state of Massachusetts around 1850. Look that up. I've read a lot about that. It was resisted, sometimes with guns, by an estimated 80% of the Massachusetts population. The last outpost in on Cape Cod, not surrendering its children until the 1980s, when the area was seized by militia and children marched to school under guard. I've learned all about this. I hope you have too. And if you haven't, you need to. Now, here is a curious idea to ponder. Senator Ted Kennedy's office released a paper not too long ago claiming that prior to compulsory education, state literacy rate was 98%. And after, the figure never again reached above 91%, where it stands in 1990. I hope that interests you. It's not even half that these days. I have news for all of you. Here is another curiosity to think about. The homeschooling movement has quietly grown to a size where 1.5 million young people are being educated entirely by their own parents. This was in 1990, more than that now, people. Last month, the education press reported amazing news that children schooled at home seem to be 5 or even 10 years ahead of their formally trained peers in their ability to think. I don't think we'll get rid of schools anytime soon. Certainly not in the lifetime, in my lifetime, he says. But if we're going to change what is rapidly becoming a disaster of ignorance, we need to realize that the school institution, the schools vary will, but it does not educate. That's inherent in the design of the thing. It's not the fault of the bad teachers or too little money spent. It's just impossible for education and schooling ever to be the same thing. Schools were designed by Horace Mann and Bernard Sears and Harper of the University of Chicago and Thorndike of Columbia Teachers College and some other men to the instruments of the scientific management of a mass population. Schools are intended to produce through the application of formulaic human beings whose behavior can be predicted and controlled. To a great extent, schools succeed in doing this, but our society is disintegrating. And in such a society, the only successful people are self-reliant, confident, and based on the individual. Because the community life which protects the dependent and the weak is dead. The products of schooling are, as I've said, irrelevant. Well-schooled people are irrelevant. They can sell film and razor blades, push paper and talk on the telephones, or sit mindlessly before a flickering computer terminal. But as human beings, they are useless. Useless to others and useless to themselves. The daily misery is all around us. I think, in a large measure, caused by the fact that Paul Goodman put in 30 years ago, we forced children to grow up absurd. Any form of schooling has to deal with the absurdities. I can't finish reading this to you, but if you want to see the rest of it, go on naturalchild.org/guest/John Gatto. And I've read a lot of his books, and I know that how it is in the school system is no mistake. That's the first thing you have to realize when you're trying to change things. Think about that. Think about how you can change things. Thank you for listening. And join us next Friday for another show.
raise me up to more than I can be. You raise me
Did you want to hang with me or what? Okay, I'll watch the next event. Okay, dude.
Thank you.